Well, good morning. Here we are, lesson 9, October 8th. Oh, October 6th. There we go. Yeah, got that little connector going in my eye. So Joshua's spiritual development for leadership. So the lesson is about Moses transitioning from Moses to Joshua. And for the nation of Israel, Moses is the greatest leader to for the entire nation, even from present history backwards. Moses is considered one of the great leaders, and it was important. And we have the idea that Moses, that God buried Moses. He went up into the mountain, and nobody knows where he is. Nobody knows where he died. Some conjecture that he never did die, that he was just taken to heaven, just like, Elijah, and taken to heaven. That we don't know, it's not stated, but it is stated that his body was contended for by the angels and by Satan, and, you know, that's a whole different story. But so that the children of Israel, they were used to trying to make idols. You know, they came from a country in Egypt where, you know, there were idols, and, you know, and Pharaoh was considered a god and had his image and things like that. So the nation of Israel, perhaps God was aware that they would take the body of Moses and put it in a shrine or build a shrine to him to make him this wonderful, you know, person that they could pray to and pray, you know, and initiate him as some type of a god. So the body of Moses is not found, and whether he died a natural death up in the mountain or whether God took him home, we don't know, but one day we shall. So for the lesson today, although noted for his humility, Moses was an amazing man and exemplary leader. So if you think about the accomplishments that God did through Moses, you know, he takes them back to Pharaoh, to Egypt, and the 10 plagues are announced through him. He leads the people through the Red Sea. He takes them to the mountain. They receive the 10 commandments from God. He leads the nation into the promised land, and they say they don't want to go in. And he leads them for 40 years through the wilderness. And Moses was, and we'll find in the lesson, that the one characteristic of the nation of Israel was grumbling and complaining. They had the corner on it. They didn't like where they were. They didn't like what was going on. They didn't like Moses. They didn't like the leadership. I mean, they were just, they were slaves out in the desert, and they couldn't get the slavery out of them. They lived in the desert. They were transitioning in the desert, but they couldn't get away from the slavery in their own imagery, in their own heart, in their own way of thinking. So as slaves, they could complain, but nobody would do anything, so now they're complaining a lot. So, but the time for the leadership of Moses was coming to an end, and who would be the one to take over that position to lead the nation of Israel? Well, Joshua became the natural and national and military leader. He's the one who takes the leads the children of Israel into the promised lands and begins with the battle with Jericho and Ai and so on through the land. So Joshua finishes his life. He haven't had the experience of coming out of Exodus. The Exodus from Egypt. So Moses had been with the system, a part of the nation, the whole way from the Exodus through the wilderness and now into the promised land. So we have in Exodus 33, verse 7, Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. Now, what happens is God had a place that he would meet with the people. So there was we had in the journeys, there would be a cloud that would go with the nation of Israel as they move through through the desert. And when God wanted to speak, or when, you know, wanted to speak with Moses or whatever, his presence would, in that cloud, came down on the on this tent, on this tabernacle. So what happens is that with the children of Israel and their sin and their not being obedient to God, well, Moses moved the tent outside the congregation. He moved the tent out without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called the tabernacle and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. So it would be there that Moses would go to meet with God, and commentary speaks about it happening every day. So it's kind of like what God has admonished us, that we are to go to prayer, and we are to pray every day, take time to pray, to communicate with God, to worship God, read the scriptures, meditate on his promises. And it was there in the tent, this congregation, tent of the congregation, that God would commune with Moses. Now, we know that Moses had the burning bush experience, and we know about his experiences with, you know, bringing the plagues to the nation of Egypt. But we don't often hear about this aspect of Moses, where he would actually go to this tent outside of the congregation, and there he would meet with God. And what happened is that and it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. So those who were seeking God, wanting to, they would go to this place to meet with God, this tent, this tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man in his tent door. So, and in honor or respect of Moses going out to meet with God, everyone would know that that's what he's doing, and that they would all go and stand in front of their tents as a way of respect for Moses going outside of the congregation, outside of the tents of the people, and he would go into this place to meet with God. And it came to pass, as Moses entered the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. That's quite a statement. And the Lord talked with Moses. So it was a divine conversation. So whenever we are in likening to this, to the idea that we find where the presence of God would descend upon this tent, well, that was kind of like the Old Testament principles, where God was dealing with with the Israelites as a nation. So God dealt with Israel as a nation. In the New Testament, God deals with us as individuals. Okay? Like, if one person in the church does wrong, God doesn't punish the whole church. Okay? One nationality, one person in a nation does something wrong, God, you know, breaks God's command. God doesn't punish the whole nation. Well, that's what would happen in Israel, where Moses was the leader. Moses would give him the laws. Moses would tell them what God's purpose and will was, and they were to obey. And if the group of them would not obey, well, then God would deal with that group within the nation. And, you know, we have places where the earth swallowed, the earth would swallow this group that was against Moses. Those who are for him and those who are against him stand over here, and the guys who were against him just kind of fell into the earth. So God would do those things. And when Israel as a nation, we find going forward into the prophets and so on, they would not listen to God or keep his commandments, well, then as a nation, they would be taken into captivity. Or as a nation, they would be captured and taken as prisoners. So God dealt with them as a nation, and we have Moses then going into the presence of God into this tent. Well, in the New Testament, we are the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God, and that he dwells with us. And so whenever we pray, we're in the tabernacle of God. We are in the presence of God. And so God is always with us, whether we feel it or don't feel it, it's the same. God is there. God is here. He's in our hearts and lives. So that's why we live our life to the Lord with his help, that he will guide us and speak to us and so on. So God spoke to Moses. And we know that there's a number of things here that we talk about, that no man shall see God and live and things like that. Well, God communicated with Moses. How he did it, we don't know. Heard audible voices, or we know that he knew what God was saying. Leave it that way. So in us, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the scriptures. You know, taking scriptures that we know and God giving those impressions upon our hearts and minds is a way that God is communicating with us. So God communicating with us is, we could liken it to what happens with Moses as God is communicating with him in this tent. But of course, that was more dramatic and everybody watched, everybody could see it. Well, for us, it's just who we are, it's who God is, and this is what God has promised to give to us. So, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. So when, you know, it was kind of like, God is here, we need to worship him. Well, in our lives, God is here. We are to worship him. A couple of the things. The scriptures declare that he dwells in unapproachable light. That's 1 Timothy. So when we're looking at this, there are scriptures that say that, like this one, that God dwells in an unapproachable light. So that could be likened to the burning bush, where Moses approached it and God said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. You know, and so he approached it, but he could only get so close. And then we have John wrote that no one has seen God at any time. So Moses wasn't looking at someone. The Lord told Moses no one can see his face and live, yet God wants to be known. And in the past, he made himself known in various ways. Consistently, God condescended to meet with his people. This is what the tabernacle and later the temple was all about. It was a meeting place where God revealed himself to the children of Israel. So in the tabernacle, and we see the temple that was built by Solomon, these were places where God revealed himself to the children of Israel. And he did so by and through the sacrifices and systems that they would offer, the sacrifices, and God's forgiveness would be upon the nation of Israel. When they left Egypt, they were blessed with the visible presence of God in the cloud. God wanted something more than just the cloud. He gave instructions to build a place where they could offer sacrifices and meet with him. And so that's how we have the beginning of the tabernacle or this tent of meeting. One of the things that's important, you know, again, me, I like, you know, been watching these archaeological digs and so on. These places were very real places, and the tent, of course, no one knows the tent was something, you don't leave a footprint. That's one thing about nomads who live in tents. They don't leave a footprint in the sand. I think they should find the golden road that leads out of Egypt, because I'm sure they got all this gold given to them and necklaces and stuff coming out of Egypt. Well, I'm sure somebody dropped it in the sand, you know, somewhere along the road. And you ought to be able to follow the yellow brick road, the gold road. And see where their path was through the desert. So I should become a treasure hunter and go over there and look it up and find it all, right? Yeah. What else? So after the fiasco with the golden calf, the Lord warned the Israelites. He says, "You are a stiff-necked people. If for a single moment I should go up among you, I would consume you." His very nearness would cause judgment. Yet God did desire a place to meet. So Moses set up a tent outside the camp. So it was because of their sin. If God came into the, as it were, it's basically saying, if the tent where God came in to meet with Moses was in the middle of the camp with all of their sin, he would consume them. So, yeah, dead meat, fried. And God says, not going to do that. So that's why he put the tent, and he put it far away from the congregation. And we're talking about 2 million people, so he's got a long way to walk to get to the tent. It says that Moses' daily routine was a communion with the Lord. And it also was there as a way for Moses to seek understanding or seek counsel from God, because the people were just grumbling and complaining, and Moses was it wore him down to constantly be hearing all of this, and he had divided the group into 70 leaders, and still it you know was a burden to him. And so he began to complain to God. So if you're complaining to God, we're listening to too many complaints. All right, so that's a Dave McGee-ism. All right, now we move on. Exodus 33:11. "And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." So did Moses see the face of God? And the answer is no. But it says that he spoke unto to Moses as a man speaks to a friend. And see, when you look at what happened in the Garden of Eden, God came down in the cool of the day and walked with Adam and Eve. And they communicated or communed as friend with friend. And sin brought a separation. But when Christ has come, he took away that barrier, and Jesus is our friend. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He wants to commune with us as friend with friend. And so the scriptures are not there to beat us up or, you know, guilt us into following him. The scriptures are there to recognize that God is wanting to communicate with us, and he is speaking to us through his word. And the Holy Spirit is that third person of the Trinity, and the third person of the Trinity is impressing those words and thoughts on our life for the very special and specific need that we are praying about. So whenever we pray, we're recognizing the presence of God. As Moses went into the tabernacle and the presence of God descended, as we go to prayer, the presence of God in us we become more aware of that presence and recognizing we are communing with God, as it were, face to face. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but the servant Joshua, the son of Nun, the young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." What we have here is Joshua is, Moses' right-hand man. And he is now following Moses. So he's going to be, they know that Joshua is going to be the next to rule. So what is the best way to rule or to lead the nation is to follow the leader. And so when Joshua follows Moses into the tent of the presence of God, Moses leaves, Joshua doesn't. It's speaking that he stayed behind, and that basically fulfilling the mere, he was not merely fulfilling the custodial duties of following the master. He was there because he wanted to be there. He would not leave the inside of the tent. He recognized the presence of God, and he was comfortable there with God. And it was going to be, that's the transition that would need to take place from Moses to Joshua. And Joshua was comfortable, or found that God was friend with him. So that's what we see going on in this verse. And then we find in verse 24 of Numbers 11, we jump to the book of Numbers. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and set them around about the tabernacle. So we know that the leadership, Moses is kind of worn out with all the problems of the complaining of the people of Israel. So Moses has 70 people that he has appointed to be the judges or the officials that would be over certain groups of people within the nation of Israel. And so Joshua set them around the tent, all right, and around the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave unto the 70 of the elders. So what it's saying is that the spirit that was on Moses, that was in Moses, is the same spirit that was divided among the 70. In the New Testament, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal bodies. Now, when God took of the spirit of Moses and separated it to the 70, the spirit that was upon Moses did not diminish. It was still the same. So when God gives what we have to others and shares with, we're not diminished. Like some people would pray, well, I don't want to ask God for too much because he might not have enough in the reservoir. It's not dumb. We think of God like us. You know, I only got so much money in the bank and I want to spend it, it's all gone. Well, God has an endless reservoir, and no matter what he gives, there's no depletion. You know, there's no depleting the reservoirs of God. So it's always full. And so when God took from the spirit of Moses and gave it to the 70, we find that what was going on is that the same spirit that was in Moses is now in the 70. You know, it isn't the spirit of Moses, it's the spirit of God. And so when the spirit of God is shared, we share the spirit of God, it's not depleted. We become full as we hear the Spirit and feel the Spirit of God and the Word of God coming into our life. And then when you share that with others, yours isn't depleted. So, and the Lord spoke, and the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the Spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. So these 70 then began to proclaim the word of God, began to speak about God, and they were just filled with, as it were, filled with the Spirit, same Spirit that was in Moses. So we find, I think it's kind of awesome, that Moses has this Spirit in him, but as soon as that Spirit touched others in the other 70, what a response they had. So this was already in a part of Moses and his walking with God and speaking with God in a tabernacle and all of that. And then when it is initiated into the 70, it's like, boom, they're just, the power of God in their life just explodes, and they're prophesying and speaking the word of God that had been told to them by Moses. So it wasn't a different word. They were speaking the same word as Moses, you know, the same laws and things. Like whenever we study the New Testament and we study the scriptures, we don't have a new doctrine. It's the same doctrine that's in the church, in the scriptures. It's the same ideas that are presented in the New Testament and presented throughout the Old Testament. It's the same ideas we speak. You know, we don't have a new revelation. it's the same revelation, but it's new to us. All right. But there remained two of the men in the camp, and the name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. So it's Medad and Udad. It's our dad. That's not true. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went out not. And what happens is these two guys are not with the 70. All right. But they got the same Spirit. The same Spirit that came upon those around the temple. There are two out in the congregation, out with the other in the tents of the congregation, and they were filled with the Spirit, not as we would understand it, but the same Spirit. So God was not like limited to the fact these are the 70 and these two guys aren't there, but they got the same thing as the guys that were there. All right. That's how you can pray for someone who is in Europe or China or wherever, and it's the same Spirit that you have can touch their life at the time that you pray. See? God can do that. Then we move on. And Joshua, the son of Nun. See, Joshua didn't have a mother. He was the son of Nun. That's a joke. Gotta remember those things. And Joshua the son of Nun and the servant of Moses, one of the young men answered and said, "My Lord Moses forbid them." So what happens is there's these two guys out, and there was these they're prophesying and speaking the message, and they come to Joshua and say, Joshua comes to Moses and said, "Moses, you gotta stop them." Well, basically, I think it's in the next verse. And Moses said unto them, "Envious thou for my sake?" So he's telling Joshua, "Are you envious for me that they're taking what God has given to me and God is giving it to them? Are you envious for me?" And he's telling Joshua, No. It's good. it's all right that who I am and what I have done as a leader and the Spirit and the power of God in my life, it is all right that God shares it with others. See, that's what this is. Are you envious for me? Are you jealous for my sake? And would God that all the Lord's people were prophets. So Moses is saying, I would everybody was a prophet. I would that everyone would have this Spirit. Guess what happens at Pentecost? Ta-da! All those who believe receive the Spirit of God, and that we would all be prophets or ministers of God, and the Spirit of God would inspire us. And then finally on Numbers 27, God commissions Joshua. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom the Spirit is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight." So this is the official transitioning of power, that Moses is now saying to the congregation, Joshua is now your leader. I'm going away. He is going to be your leader. He takes Joshua to the priest, to the tabernacle that they have, and the priest, and they anoint Joshua as the leader. So this is the transition of power from Moses to Joshua. And he's doing it in front of the whole congregation. He's doing it before the temple, and he's saying, this is God's man to lead, the lead from now on, you know, in my absence. And he set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and gave him charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. God's telling Moses, put some of your honor on Joshua. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. The Urim and Thummim were they're not dice, but they are, we don't know what they are, but they were objects that the priests were able to throw and know what the will of God was. And I think that's probably where the devil got the idea of gambling. and we find that it went away. Those things ceased with the coming of the Spirit in the New Testament. But these were very accurate, because if you go back to Jericho, there was this individual who took things from Jericho, and the whole congregation was forbidden to take anything from Jericho. It was to be God's, and they were to consecrate it. But some guy decided he's going to steal stuff out of Jericho, put it under the rug in his tent, and nobody's going to know. Well, they lost at the Battle of Ai, and then Joshua finds out from God there's sin in the camp. So they take these things and throw them out, and there's the 12 tribes. They points out the tribe, run them again, throws it, and they know the family. And then they throw them again, they know the father, and throw them again, they know the person. Sure enough, go to his tent, and there's the stuff he stole. So they did this again, stand before Eliezer, who asked counsel for him after the judgment of the Urim, and his word shall they... And his word shall they go out, at his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and the children of Israel with him, and even all the congregation. So when Joshua says, you go out, and when he says, come in, you come in. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon them, and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So it was the official transitioning of power. So Deuteronomy, and the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourself in the tabernacle of congregation, that I may give him charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. So that's the declaration of Moses to Joshua. And remember what it says? Because Joshua now has to take over for Moses. And this is a very important in Joshua, the first chapter. It says it over and over again. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. You know, God has said to you, be strong and of good courage. And that's that foundation that Joshua has to have as he's going to lead these grumbling people into the promised land to conquer the cities and drive out the enemies that lie in the land. So that's the beginning, transitioning from Moses to Joshua. So next week we have Balaam. Balaam's an interesting character. He's a prophet for hire. And the enemies of Israel buy him and try to get him to curse Israel. And God won't let him. So, well, that's next week. So stay tuned. Father, we do thank you for your word that is a light to our path. And God is a rich enlightenment to our spirit. Because men of old, Moses and Joshua, they were faced with difficult tasks, but Lord, your presence, your spirit went with them, inspired them, gave them messages, especially to be strong and of good courage. So Lord, let that resonate in our hearts and lives as it did with Joshua and his position of leadership. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.